The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. We're getting into the Western Conference playoffs. I wanted to say something real quick, Jason, too. And we'll get back to the Kings here in a second. We're doing 90% Kings. Yeah. Frankie will join us at 9 as well.
Final Frankie.
Yeah. You know, I want to say something about the A's. So, I feel like I need to write another article. Because... like, I think the plot's getting twisted a little bit here, just by a couple people. But I think there's a few people that feel like I do. I've stated my case that there's no denying the benefit the A's coming here would give us. There is no denying the economic benefit, the boost to the city, everything. And I ride or die for this city nonstop. I also do believe there's a path for the team to stay in Oakland, and I believe it's part of the Sacramento playbook, which is you block Fisher's path everywhere like we did with the Maloofs. He eventually sells, and it's open bidding. And as Casey Pratt has told us, not only Joe Lacob, but a number of other people would love to buy the A's and get the Howard Terminal deal and keep them there. And as long as there's an opening there, I really struggle ethically with the whole thing. Now, you and I are on different paths, but we're very, very close, I think, in how we feel. It's just a little bit of a divergence. But I want to talk about once the A's play here, you know, because a lot of it, I have seen some people that are like, so when the A's get here, right, you're not going to any games. You're not going to talk about it on the radio, I would assume. You don't want them here. And I'm like, no, of course not. Look, when the A's open next year in Sacramento, I'm on board, man. Of course I will be. And if we end up broadcasting them, if we'll go down to spring training, we'll cover them. I'm not going to be the guy in the corner with my arms crossed. It's one of those, look, yeah, well, I have my arms crossed right now in the corner. It's one of those things where it's like, look, in the process of the whole thing, we should share what we think. And I'm not trying to, you know, break my arm on my back here, but it's not a popular opinion to have an ethical issue with this. The easy way to go would be, let's go. I don't care. Nobody in Oakland serves my needs, like, and your needs. We broadcast to the greater Sacramento area. Yes, there are A's fans here, but the vast majority are Sacramentans. There's no issues with being on board with, hey, it's the billionaires, it's not our fault. Well, it isn't our fault, and it is the billionaires. But I think that no matter whether it's popular or unpopular, you say what you say, how you feel, and I happen to feel, whether you agree with it or not, that I don't want to take any leverage away, and I don't want to help John Fisher. I've said that. It's good. I made my point. Once they get here, it's all in, baby. Because right. I why would I possibly root against the city? Why would right. I root against my city? Why would I not want to support? I will still say I don't like the way they got here, and I feel for Oakland fans, and when, not if, but when they show up and they're doing the protests and all that stuff, I might even throw on one of the green cell shirts again and be a part of that thing just in solidarity. But and I know there's other people that feel the way I do about them coming, but once they're here, to not at least support them on behalf of the city, to me, that's also unethical.
Yeah,
but I'll never support John Fisher,
right.
And I'll always be vocal about that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, like I'm able to, and maybe some can't, and that's okay. I can separate that part.
Yeah,
like in theory, if you buy a ticket to go to an A's game, either in Oakland now or here or wherever, are you putting money? Like that's not the kind of thing that's lining his.
Correct.
Like when you're lining his pockets. No,
correct.
That's not. That's the TV deals. That's expansion. That's stadium. That's naming rights. I look at that as my form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Family's form. I'm taking friends, coworkers.
I'm taking my kids.
Whatever.
Family.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I don't think of that the same way. Like, I never think of that. I'm supporting an actor or an actress or a, a group. Like, I'm just going because I like them. I want to see this.
I think what you're dancing around is a really good point, Jason. It's art and artist.
Yeah.
It's art and artist.
Right.
One of my favorite artists of all time is Michael Jackson.
I agree.
Ew.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
I still like his music.
100%.
I'm not, I still listen
to it.
Yeah.
I listened to Earth Song 2 days ago. Like that song.
Yeah.
Why?
Why do I like Earth Song?
Why? Oh, I'm thinking of
Human Nature.
Human Nature.
Because I was about to go into a whole soliloquy as to why.
Just a jam.
I'll never forget, and I will always be indebted as a Kings fan to Kevin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Right. Two things can be true.
Kings aren't here without him.
Correct.
Now, could other things be true? Yep.
Yep.
And that's a tough, it's one of those stone glass house, whatever. Right. Like, every single person what are you going to do? You can not go to a Kings game?
Right.
You're going to say they should have left?
Yeah.
I can't support. Well,
we've got 10, well, more than 10,000, 100,000 things that could be causes.
Yes.
We don't do all of them.
No. Now there's lines.
Individuals. Right.
Yes. And there's lines. Like, look, weirdly enough, right now, there's a whole separate conversation, shockingly, on YouTube, and it involves bringing Miles Bridges to the Sacramento Kings.
Okay. And some would be like, I would never support that.
I would never support that. Okay. I'm one of them. I never would.
And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. And others are like, I never would. And win as many games as you can.
100%.
Yeah.
Tis what it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not going to an A's game when they come here.
Would you, though? What if it was like
I don't think I'll be able to afford a ticket.
You're given a ticket.
You?
If I'm given a ticket. Oh, yeah, I'll go.
What if you get a big raise? Well, hold on. That's a year from now. What if you get a big raise at work?
I think that's coming for Chris.
I'll tell you this much. Chris, how long have you been here?
15 years.
15 years Chris has been here. On time, does his thing, whatever. Does he have a cranky personality sometimes? Maybe.
Does he?
Does he laugh at other people's misfortunes? Perhaps.
Yes. Confirmed.
Does he have a really dark sense of humor? Sometimes. Is he one of the most reliable people and consistent people at the station? Facts. Absolutely. I would say this. I'm not in charge of anything, but I would just say this. And I'm sure he is very well. I don't get into that. I'm sure he's incredibly well compensated. But if anybody.
Give him all the money.
Give him all the money. That's what I say. And then go get some more and give that to him, too. Huh.
So after you make the Southwest call for Jason,
priorities.
Can you make a phone call for me?
I'll do better than that. I'll do better than that. I will donate out of my salary. I will 100%. I'm serious about this.
To Southwest?
Oh, I will give up a minimum or a maximum of $100 a year to Chris. Tell me where to sign. Whatever I'm making.
You're going to give him 100 of it. That's nice of you.
100 after tax. That's pretty much.
If he got everybody in the building to do that.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Hey, Cindy. What do you need? Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, Chet.
Yeah.
$100.
Hey, Sep.
Hey, Sep. Hey, Kent. Hey, Marsh. Have a car wash out front. Bake sale.
What would you bake?
What would I bake for a KHDK bake sale? Baking's my weakness.
Ooh.
It's my weakness.
You have the gadgets for it, don't
I
you?
Do. It's my weakness because you got to be exact and disciplined. Whereas with food, you can just go here and throw in, Swedish Chef.
Yeah.
Baking, you got to be like, I need a half gram in volume, not weight, of baking powder, and I'm just like, no, throw it all in, let's go.
Is that your cooking voice?
Yes,
it's with Dave.
My deep Julia Child voice. Okay, all right, let's be, no, we're not making weed brownies, you idiots, get out of here. Although, I mean,
quite well.
From the
KHDK, the highest revenue station in all of the land.
The highest.
Occasionally you walk in here and it smells like someone's making brownies.
It really does.
Sorry.
Hi. And we have the Jim Boy's truck right next to us, which is mysteriously being overrun.
Like the tacos.
All right, the Western Conference playoffs.
Who's playing? Who cares?
Whatever. I mean, I know who's not playing, the Kings. Isn't that what we care about?
So where are you on the Thunder Pelicans series?
The Plunder Pelicans?
Yeah. And where are Kings fans, you think, on that? I know you did the poll.
Yeah, we did the poll, and almost 70% of Kings fans are rooting for the Thunder, or at least not rooting for the Pelicans. I'm weirdly rooting for the Pelicans, but it's like a Kings thing. Like, I love the Thunder. I love Sam Presti, but part of me, I want to see the Thunder do, like, legit damage in the playoffs because, look, it's not going to fix anything, but somehow I would weirdly feel better about going 0-6 and being knocked out by a team that was, like, in the Western Conference Finals than a team that was a first round out.
Now we've already had one game, so this question won't be the exact, but I'm going to word it this way anyway. Which would make you more angry as a Kings fan, a Thunder 4-0 sweep, or if the Pelicans had swept them, which obviously they can't now, I guess in five?
I wouldn't have been angry at all if the Pelicans swept them.
Then you'd have been like, that could have been the Kings.
No, yeah, okay,
I know it doesn't work that way. Or if you go, Pelican, probably what the Warriors are thinking a little bit, like, you got not only celebrated, but you beat us, and then you went ahead and lost. Like, we would have gone and beat the Pelicans.
And they might have. I mean, we've seen how the Pelicans do against every other team. It's weird. I look at the Pelicans having 33 losses. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Like six of their 49 wins came against us. It's like 10% or something. I understand that because that's kind of like the Lakers-Nets corollary in 02. But, I don't know, it feels a little bit different here because I understand that the style is so much a part of this thing. That being said, you look at I think the series will get better, but the Clippers handled the Mavs, no problem. That's without Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
The Timberwolves just pooped all over the Suns. Like, that was that was an eclipse. By 25. I have no reason to feel. Did I originally pick the Suns? Why do I feel like I did? If I did, I was joking. And the Nuggets, I did say I think the Nuggets will just thrash the Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers had a halftime lead. I'm like, okay. And
the Nuggets just nuggeted.
Yeah, they did.
I will say, though, the Pelicans Thunder game one was everything I was hoping and thought it would be. That was that was just a fun couple of teams. Neither scored 100 points.
Right.
You know, just there was.
Right down to the end.
Right down to the end. Some of it was defense. A lot of it, I think, was just nerves and craziness. I mean, hell, the Knicks were 111-104 over the Sixers. There were two games in which neither team scored 100 points. There was that game, the Thunder and Pelicans, and then the Cavs and Magic. But watching that game, it was more like they just weren't good enough to score 100 points is what it felt like.
Right.
This was, and I don't know what the status is necessarily on Zion. I probably should look that up, how far they need to go to get Zion back. But it just makes you wonder. 94-92, the Thunder did win, but, man, I expect this series. I would be really surprised if this was anything less than six or seven games.
I only saw the end, the play. I saw the game, but I saw the play once at the end, didn't watch any of the postgame. Was CJ shot a three with time expiring? Like, he kind of does the fake and step up and under.
Yeah, I don't know
if that was for the win or for the tie. No, I never figured out.
Yeah, I think his feet were behind, and then he kind of jumped ahead, which would have been a three. That's how I saw it.
Got it.
We'll take a break. Just a quick minute break here, everybody. When we return, King's exit interviews are today. What would you ask if you were in charge as well? And, of course, we will have sound, a lot of sound for you. On that coming up next. After that, we'll look at some of the award finalists announced by the NBA, including our very own Malik Monk. But exit interviews, and what would you ask the Kings? That's coming up right after this.
Michael Dave. He has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
In his last five events, Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one golfer, has won the Arnold Palmer, won the Players' Championship, took second in the Texas Children's Tournament, won the Masters, and then thanks to a rain delay, won the RBC Heritage this morning. That's 16 million in winnings in the last 44 days. And that... Again, I'll say it again. That is a Tiger-esque run.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The game of golf.
Like, he's already won Golfer of the Year, right? I mean, it would take it a would lot take of work
something
to.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
And, but the good news is, as if he is a very nice, very humble guy, but he's about to get really, really humbled. Maybe not on the golf course, but as soon as that baby pops out, it's his first. Good luck, Scotty.
Yeah.
Guess who doesn't care about your $44 million in winnings?
The bebé?
The bebé filling that dipe.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he's got some, he doesn't strike me as the type of guy that's going to have the maid change the kid. So good luck, pal. Good luck at 3 a.m. when bebé decides it's hungry or whatever the crap babies do. Selfish.
Crap.
SABs. Selfish ass babies. the Kings are having their exit interviews today. Here's how it works. Every player will meet with the coaching staff, then generally the front office. And when we say interviews, that's they'll kind of be given, you know, hey, let's talk about the season. What do you do in the summer? Here's what we'd like to see.
Yeah, you get like an off season workout kind of deal. A lot of the coaches go and visit with them too.
Yes, you saw Luke Lux and De'Aaron, which Doug De'Aaron pretty much is married to a coach, so we're not going to have to worry about his workouts. And then they'll also do exit interviews with the media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bright side is for these guys as people is, you know, they're basically on the road or taken up with basketball 6-7 months out of the year. And now they're going to go on the road, but in a different way, spend time with families, go back home, do their thing. Everybody just kind of takes off and we'll see them. You'll see them in the summer. There'll be guys that'll show up and work out and do stuff. You know, but this is kind of where they're going to take a break for a while.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple schools of thought here. I always found this interesting because it's something Doug Christie would do. And when Doug was here, he'd talk about it. He was his thing whenever his season ended.
Yeah.
He kept, like, a lot of times people are like, all right, I got to get away for a little while. Yeah. He kept going through the finals.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to have that, like, this is what it's going to take. And then he would shut down for a little while. So some guys might be done today.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I need to get away. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I always found that interesting that Doug's like, no, I'm going to work the next, well, in this case, it'd be like 6 more weeks because that's what it would take to be a champion.
I love hearing that. And I love the idea of these guys. I'd love to hear that these guys are like, nope, we're in the weight room the next day.
Yeah.
And 9 of us stayed. And we're, you know, of course you want to hear that. But at the same time, realistically, some of these guys, you know, like, for example, De'Aaron Fox, I don't want him doing that.
Yeah.
Like, go sit on a couch, dude, and play with your kid and get a little fat. Like, not fat, but, you know, maybe 5-6 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny little, not a spare tire, but like a spare tire on like a Hot Wheel. Like a tiny spare tire. He needs to rest his body.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis probably needs to rest his body. But if you were, you know, we're asking the audience here, too, at 1-800-920-1140. You know, what do you ask? What do you ask these guys? I mean, obviously, is this year a disappointment? Would you consider this year a step back? I imagine the answers will be somewhere ranging from anytime you don't win a championship is a disappointment.
Yeah. I wonder what they think they need. Like, we always, you know, give our thoughts and our analysis on it, but I wonder what they think they need.
It would be interesting because that's almost always a question that is a different answer than it is when the Mike isn't on. As a team, you're not going to get De'Aaron Fox saying, we really need help at the three.
Right.
Oh, well, thanks, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Like, that's nice. You're never going to, you're going to get a lot of
size.
Yeah.
Like, just a generic.
Generic length. Stuff. I leave length. That to the front office. Yeah. Length. Girth.
Yeah.
Upsizematters.com. You know, it's a tough one to ask, but I guarantee you, I can promise you this, that when name the player, Fox, Sabonis, Monk, whoever, that when they're sitting around the fire in their backyard talking to their spouses or friends or family or whoever, they know exactly what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're naming names. And they know exactly what has to happen. They know that, but that's up to Monty.
Right.
That's up to that front office. And they got a long off season to deal with that, Jason, because you don't want to get caught in a rut. Monty always said when he came on, and he'll continue to say, we'll try to get Monty on this week, that they don't want to be a one and done.
All right.
Although technically
they were this year.
A new playoff streak has started at one. But I think we can all agree that this is going into next year, if they, God forbid, did run it back again, which I do not believe they will do, 45-50 win team. Somewhere, you know, and you can never control what goes on behind, around you, but somewhere between, I would say their ceiling would be a 4 seed and their floor is a 9-10 again.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, without the offseason even getting here, you know, it could be a similar year to this year. And I still remember before the year started when I think we were making predictions on the Kings. And my stance then was, I feel like if everything went right, I really feel like they could have been a 1 seed.
Yes.
Everything didn't go right, and that sounded crazy. I'm like, but look who became the 1 seed, OKC. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Minnesota was fighting for it all year. They were at the bottom. They were a play-in team. So I think the difference between the top and really like 11 to 12 isn't that much, but it was enough with injuries and missed opportunities that 46 wasn't enough. What's 46 going to get you next year? It could be 5. It could be 12. I mean, we just don't know. It's a year-to-year deal. And there's some teams that finished even worse than the Kings that you can't just think, oh, they're going to be better than them for sure. You know, at some point, Wemby and the Spurs will be something to deal with.
Will.
Houston may be a lot better. Yes. They were flirted with things. I anticipate Memphis will be a problem. So
yeah.
But I also did not think that the Kings and Warriors would miss the postseason, and they both did.
Well, and we can screw ourselves into the ground all day doing this, but when you look at the West, let me just run through real quick.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City getting worse?
I mean, I don't if I'm
barring
guess,
injury.
I don't think they'll be a 1 seed. I think that's fair to say, but I don't know what worse means.
They missing the playoffs. Next year, Oklahoma City?
I don't think
so.
Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, if we had this last year at this time and the Kings were third, we weren't predicting them to miss the playoffs.
That's true. That is true.
Right?
That is true.
Would you have thought the Warriors would have either?
No.
So
when I look down at the 5 teams that didn't make it, again, just where we're at right now, Memphis is going to be knocking on that door again, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they're getting, you know, Ja Morant, and they're getting a lot back. You mentioned it, San Antonio, 22-60, but that's they're doing fine.
Right.
And then you could look at, you know, is Utah and Portland going to?
I don't know. Yeah.
But this is when I look at the teams that are in it again. If the Lakers clean house, the Warriors will always be around. But you know, Clips, Mavs, Suns, T Wolves, Nuggets, Thunder, I don't think they're falling out unless somebody gets
Dallas did last year.
They did.
They were 11th. I wouldn't have thought that.
Would not have thought that. Would not have thought that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes, though, I thought in his conversation, we'll go over this a few times over the next few days. Anthony Slater and Sam Amick did a wonderful job kind of deep diving the end of the season, talking about Mike Brown's contract, how that could become an issue. But Domantas Sabonis, before we get to Harrison, says, you know, he feels like the Kings got better. They just couldn't finish some games. We dropped a couple. The West is tougher, and we kind of put ourselves in a bad situation. I love what Harrison Barnes said, and when don't I love what Harrison Barnes says? He says, it's easy to focus on the last 2 weeks. People say, look at the Dallas games, the back-to-back against the Pelicans and Suns. But I think there's a lot of games early in the season. We had games we didn't show up. By the way, that is an incredible quote. We had games where we didn't show up. That's a confirmation of when we're yelling about, like, they didn't even show up. We'll get to that quote a little bit later, but I love that he was honest about it. We had games we didn't show up, games where we didn't have the right approach. Stack those up. You look where things finish. If we would have had 3, 4, 5 more wins, where would we be? And they had some numbers to kind of support that. Despite going 0-6 against the Pelicans, the Kings went 15-8 against 6 of the 8 Western Conference playoff teams. Swept the Lakers, 3-1 against the Nuggets. 2-1 against the Timberwolves, and they split with the Thunder, the Clippers, and the Suns. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got award finalists that have been announced by the NBA, the final three. We'll get to all of those. And in the meantime, you know, I spoke to you before we break real quick, Chris. I spoke to you about you and I were both in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and we were both surprised at the Smoothie King Center and how loud it was. And how they were able to maintain that energy all the way through the fourth quarter. I am convinced that they switched to electric through our friends at American Energy Heating and Air. And that's exactly where they got it. You know, they call it the blender.
Blender.
Whatever they call it. I can tell you this. You know, American Energy calls saving money a good thing. I just made that up, but I'm pretty sure they agree. And they want you to switch. Switch to electric. Get rid of those stupid PG&E bills, man. Switch to electric this spring and save big with American Energy. Get ahead of those energy bills that go up, up, up in the summer and get up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. They'll do the work for you, not just, you know, installing it. I'm saying they'll do all the rebate work. They'll help you fill out all the paperwork. They'll make sure everything's, I don't know if it's a UPC code or whatever they have to send off, but they'll do it. And they're providing huge rebates from Smut as well, spring specials. By installing one of the many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now, you can take advantage of that. Get rid of the fluctuating gas bills in the winter. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis. See where American Energy can help you save for the warmer months ahead. They're the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That is 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. Award finalists announced by the NBA, including one Sacramento King. We'll do that next.
Black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
I'll miss that.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. It is the day after, even though it's 2 days after, but it's the day after. And we have some award finalists to share with you. It's really, really interesting. Or is it? MVP. And no, and by the way, these are not in order. It's right. Just the finalists. Luka Doncic. Nikola Jokic. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Jason Ross.
Yes.
Who will win?
My pick would be Nikola Jokic.
Mine too, and that's who will almost certainly win. This is an interesting one. There's three finalists, but I think there's only really two. Rookie of the Year, Victor Wembanyama. Rudy Gobert.
No.
Bam. What?
Oh, defensive player there. You said
sorry.
Rookie.
No. I was saying he's going to be the rookie.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry. I should have probably clarified that. Sorry, chat. But
yeah.
Wembanyama, Gobert. Or Bam Adebayo. This is an interesting one between Wemby and Gobert. I would pick Victor Wembanyama, but Gobert's like, you know, the guy every year. There's good cases for both.
Is it funny that I feel like in this case, Defensive Player of the Year, like there is no...
Wrong answer?
No, there's no worry about record.
Meaning you think record should matter?
No, I just feel like it's never even... I don't think there would be another category... Well, I guess Rookie of the Year you could have this, but like when you're thinking of season-ending awards, the impact it has on winning. So what kind of impact did Wembanyama have? Like it's not even measured really, right?
It's just...
And so, maybe it shouldn't be. I just think it's interesting.
It's so tough.
Like could Wemby be in the MVP conversation based on where they finish? Probably not.
When you look at numbers alone, I don't think it's even a contest. Victor Wembanyama has 3.4 blocks to Gobert's 2.1. He has more than double the steals, 1.3 to 0.6. He is a defensive rebound behind, but also has almost doubled in deflections. When it comes to on and off the floor.
What about Bam? Nothing for Bam?
Look,
Bam. Is he always in the list and never wins?
Yeah, he's elite. Elite. I just don't think he's one of these two guys. When you get to the metrics, Wembanyama has a pretty decent lead in all of those. I think, in my opinion, if Rudy Gobert wins, it's because wins are being factored in.
Yeah.
Which is rough when you because here, if I was a voter, and we'll talk to Sam about this when he comes on later in the week. Here's the thing. If I'm a voter, like, I go through, I look at the numbers first. Okay, I'm about to make my decision, but let me look at wins as a part of the conversation. But then it really comes down to this. Are the Minnesota Timberwolves any better or worse of a defensive team if it's Victor Wembanyama instead of Rudy Gobert? I think if anything, they're better and or they're the same. Do I think the Spurs are a better team if Rudy Gobert is? Are they better defensively if it's Gobert? No, I don't. I think that Rudy Gobert through it's not Victor Wembanyama's fault that he doesn't have a lot of people surrounding him. Just like it's not Rudy Gobert's fault that he has Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony. I mean, he has a literal twin tower. Not that they're the defense. You know, he's the defensive specialist. Rudy is. Right. But I'm talking about Cat. He has another 7-footer playing alongside of him, plus some pretty decent defensive pieces alongside of him, including a possible sixth man of the year candidate.
Sure.
Wembanyama has none of that. So I would argue that the load on the shoulders of Victor Wembanyama is a lot thicker than Rudy's.
Yeah, I believe that. So I believe that.
All right. Most improved player, Tyrese Maxey. Alperen Şengün or Coby White.
I think Maxey gets that.
I agree with you. By the way, questionable for the next game. Şengün was well on his way till he got hurt. And, you know, honestly, Coby White's on there. Derek White's had a wonderful year,
I thought Derek White could have been on
there. I honestly think he could have. Rookie of the Year, Brandon Miller, Chet, and Victor Wembanyama. This is a two-person race. Yeah. I think Chet will get some numbers, but it's Wemby. Yeah. It's Wemby. He's having one of the most impactful rookie years ever. Clutch player of the year. Interesting. I believe De'Aaron Fox has the second most clutch points again this year, but not in the final three. Mm. Maybe that's just voter fatigue after 1 year. Steph Curry, SGA, DeMar DeRozan. Personally, I'm giving it to Steph. I've seen the numbers too. I could absolutely see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander winning it. I don't think DeMar will. I'm giving it to Steph, though, mainly because he's not a free throw merchant.
Yeah.
Coach of the year, Mark Daniel. Mosley and Finch to round those up. Three very good young coaches.
I think Dagnall gets that.
Yeah, I agree. OKC. And then the one everyone's waiting for. Naz Reid. I always want to say Clinton, but it's Bobby Portis. And Malik Monk. I now believe that Naz Reid's going to win sixth man.
I think Malik will.
I hope you're right. I think it's going to be very close. I do think it's between those two.
Yeah.
I think if Naz Reid wins it, look, Naz Reid has had a wonderful year. He really has. And if he wins it, I wouldn't say it's a robbery per se, but I would say that unfortunately voters got a little scammed up. The problem is when you look at their numbers, just, let me look at Malik's and let me look at Naz Reid's. Oh, Naz Reid actually has him in a lot of those numbers. But here's the problem. Naz Reid started, I think, their last 15 games.
Right.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ballgame. You're playing with the starters.
What numbers does he have him on? Probably rebounds.
Yeah, I think so.
Points?
Let me give you the bench numbers first off. Malik averaged off the bench 15.4 points a game. Naz Reid 12.6. 5.1 assists for Malik Monk, 1.1 assists for Naz Reid. 2.9 rebounds for Monk, 4.9 rebounds for Naz Reid. Now, give me a second to bring up their actual numbers themselves, but there was definitely when Naz Reid started.
Numbers went up.
The numbers went up. The numbers went up considerably. That's not sixth man of the year. That's your starter, dude. And in fact, there are some that say, although I don't know that this is true, but there are some that say that Mike Brown at times may have, you know, even when it was a possibility to start Malik Monk, was like, no.
He went out of his way to not do it.
Right. Sixth man. Naz Reid has Malik Monk in rebounds, steals, blocks, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, box plus minus, and value over replacement player. Now, some of those are, you know, negligible, like right. 0.9 to 0.5 blocks or 0.8 to 0.6 steals. He played nine more games. But Malik has him in points, assists, and free throw percentage.
Okay.
The problem is some of those statistics, like value over replacement player and box plus minus, can be cumulative the more minutes and the more time you get. When you look at their number, if the sixth man of the year voters are being honest and doing the research properly, in my opinion, they're comparing their numbers off the bench. Right. Starter numbers don't matter.
Right. You shouldn't.
A starter is not a sixth man by definition. Therefore, those numbers need to be cut and gone. Let's look at what Malik Monk did off the bench this year. Let's look at what Naz Reid did off the bench this year. That is the definition of a sixth man. And if you do that, Monk wins.
Yeah, I agree. To me, it should be his.
It should be. And if not, we riot. Not really.
We could.
We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot, who's not, we'll go streaking. And Jason, it's time.
Yeah.
It is the final Sacramento Kings three in the key of the season.
Recap.
Unless we do one for like Vegas Summer League, but more than likely, no. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with all that before we get to Frankie.
Frankie
Clicks at 9 a.m. coming up next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who is hot?
Damian Lillard. First half against the Indiana Pacers, Lillard was 11 of 19 from the field, shooting 6 of 10 from 3 and 7 of 7 from the free throw line to score 35 points.
That's hot.
Yeah, who's not, though?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
I thought
that's where we were going.
The second half against the Indiana Pacers, Lillard was 0 from 5 from the field, 0 for 1 from the 3, and did not take a free throw to score 0 points in the second half.
Wow.
How can you be hot and not?
What a chokey pants.
Hey, they won.
The Milwaukee Bucks won because of Damian Lillard. The Milwaukee Bucks won despite Damian Lillard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here was a little bit of Dame after the game. I said, here's a little bit of Dame. Unmute. After the game.
Just when it had been a few years since you'd been in the playoffs, just how much were you looking forward to this opportunity just because it had been a couple of years?
Yeah, it was the last 2 years not being in the playoffs, it was, you know, it sucked. I was early vacations. Last year I went to Coachella. Like, I ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Like, it's just playing in the playoffs every year. So just having that long summer, it was like, man, I was over that. But being able to be in a playoff series on a championship team and a championship organization, knowing that we got an opportunity for it, you know, I think that was the thing that I was looking forward to most. Mm.
Coachella, huh?
No interest, dude.
Yeah.
Just absolutely no interest in Coachella whatsoever.
Way to go, Dame.
Way to go, Dame. 35 in the first half. And Bucks up 1-0. No, yep. Giannis. Want to go streaking?
Let's do it.
We'll take it off. Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
Streaking.
Well, we've got a little dilemma here because we didn't streak on Friday. We forgot. We never got to it.
Yeah, we did. Oh, by the way, really sad I missed. I was listening on the way to the airport to Friday Fun and Games. I feel I would have done pretty well on a couple of those.
Oh, really?
But I thought the guys did really well for the most part.
Which category did you want the most? I'm trying to think. We have United States cities.
Cities I would have done pretty well at.
Snack items.
Snack items I would have nailed. And it's funny because listening to Chris, like there was a couple where I'm like, and it's different when you're not under the gun. Yeah. Like I'm in the car, I'm like, I think he said Nutella.
Yeah.
That's not the one I'm thinking of, actually. But there's like a couple where he said like a random one I would have never thought of, and it was like
I think it's Dunkaroos.
Dunkaroos, yeah. There's like Doritos. Yeah. I think I forget what he said for K, but I was like Kit Kat.
Yeah.
It was cities.
NBA players.
Yeah, NBA players. I don't care with that.
What do we get, Brent? Oh, video games.
Video games. Yeah, that was. I know what you were trying to do. You were trying to give him a really easy one because that's kind of where his. And he did well.
Yeah.
I've been told he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He knew some games. I'm like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Maybe it's a game. Maybe it's not.
He did. Then again, there's this game called Rocket League, and I call it Soccer Cars because my son plays it. And I don't know half the names of these games. All right. But so what do we do here?
So we're just going to – we're not starting over. Just continue. We never paid off what we did for Thursday. Dave, you had picked Marcus Simeon. You are on one game hit streak. He went 3-for-6.
Hey, that's – I'm on a four-game streak, right?
No. Two.
Two. Okay. Yeah. Dang it.
I was on a three-game hitting streak, and I took from the Cubs Michael Bush.
Bush.
It got rained out.
Oh.
And then Chris
– Bush was wet.
On his –
Wait, no. Okay. Just
zero game hitting streak. And Chris took Tyler O'Neill, who did not play.
Tyler.
He's on the IL for 7 days. So, Dave, you're at...
Hey, my wife, by the way, speaking of Bush, my wife sent me a picture today. You know what? Everything about what I just said is terrible. And I'm going to pay it off, you bunch of freaking weird minds. Speaking of Bush, my wife sent me a picture today of the band Bush, as you can see in the picture she sent me.
You're showing that to other people?
Playing in the State Fair July 24th, and she wants to go. And I think that we will, because then, check this out. We're going to see Bush July 24th, and then a week to the day later, Creed.
In Iowa.
No, here.
Oh, okay.
We still might go to Iowa. Bush followed by Creed in the butt-rockiest week of our lives.
Summer concert series.
Summer concert series brought to you by Carmichael Dave's horrible music taste when it comes to 90s and early 2000s butt rock. I am here for it, baby. So, yes, all of you who thought things, Bush is playing at the fairgrounds July 24th.
That's what I thought.
All right, so we got a streak again.
Oh, yeah, so you're at two, so you get a pick today.
Who did I pick?
You took Tyler O'Neill, but he was on the injury
list.
Right.
So he, by contract, has to keep Tyler O'Neill today, or is it?
Start over. He's at zero.
All right. Let's see. I'm on a two-game streak. Give me Mookie Betts.
Mookie. I'm going to take Juan Soto of the Yankees. Play the A's here at 10 o'clock.
Oh.
Chris?
I haven't gotten a hit in quite some time, so I'm going to go with the opposite of what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Is he due?
Yeah.
He's due.
He's past due. Smud's coming after him.
By the way, let's just do a quick check, and no matter how you guys do, I would do worse. I have in front of me the top five home run leaders in Major League Baseball. Let's see how many we can get.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is number two.
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is not in the top five.
Schwarber?
Kyle Schwarber is tied for fifth.
Aaron Judge.
No. He only has three. Mookie?
Mookie Betts is tied for fifth. It's kind of lame because your top five are as follows. Marcelo Zuna is leading the league with nine, followed by Mike Trout. Tyler O'Neill is third, and then fourth is Salvador Perez with six. But tied with him are Mookie Betts, Kyle Schwarber, Taylor Ward, Josh Naylor, Adolis Garcia, Fernando Tatis Jr., Pete Alonso, Tristan Casas, CJ Abrams, Michael Bush, Gunnar Henderson, and Ellie De La Cruz. There's a big logjam at six. All right. So we got all our people that we're going with?
We did.
Shall we streak? Or shall we recap?
Let's do it.
Last one. Recap. Three in the key. The final one. This time, it's 4-3.
We have four participants in this because the lovely and talented Brendan Nunes was participating as well.
That's right. How did the senior Kings
So that's what Jinx does.
Yeah. We asked for C.J. McCollum versus De'Aaron Fox points. Dave, you said C.J. and Fox would each score 34. I said 24 C.J., 33 Fox. Chris said 18 C.J., 36 Fox. And Brendan said 27 C.J., 34 Fox.
Do we have a clear winner?
Well, we were all really close on Fox, 35, yeah. But none said 35. Yeah. And then 7, I would say Chris is the clear winner.
Yeah, I feel like Chris on the basis of CJ.
Yeah, wins.
Yeah, wins.
Then we asked for Valanciunas points, rebounds, Sabonis points, rebounds. Davey said 10 and 13 for Valanciunas, 16, 14 for Sabonis. I said 14, 12 for Valanciunas, 20, 16. For Sabonis, Chris said 15-13 Valanciunas, 18-14 Sabonis, and Brendan said 12-9 for Valanciunas, 18-14 for Sabonis. This is a log jam.
It really is.
Valanciunas said 19-12, Sabonis at 23-14.
That sounds like me. All right, moving on.
No, okay, maybe. Gross. Lastly, our random set. Let's see how we did here.
Well, all right.
Let's close out. Dave, you said, and I can't confirm, but I did see you eating, but your prediction was you would be caught on TV stuffing your face.
Didn't get a single text about it. I think I was wrong.
I saw you eating popcorn. Yeah, it looked like something else, too.
Yeah, I was smashing popcorn, and then they had candy.
Oh.
So I had peanut M&Ms. I had a bunch of them. I had a handful of, what are those little jelly things that have the sugar on the outside and they're circles?
Every like, candy ever?
No, dude. It's like a jelly... But it's sugary on the outside.
Oh, no.
These little tarts. Anyways, I got fat. What do you want?
I said Alvarado and Fox would get double technicals. We almost had a Fox Najee Marshall.
That was fun.
Nothing.
Yeah, a little push and shove.
Chris said we get an audible light the beam chant. We did get an audible Keegan Murray. There were some good Kings fans behind the Kings bench.
Yes, and a couple of very faint DeMontis Saboniss early. Okay. Yes, we were singing along.
And then Brendan said Lyles would have at least 3 3-pointers.
Wow.
So took one Brendan shot.
Actually, he might be right because he said that he'll need to get at least 3 3-pointers for the Kings to win.
Well, he didn't and they didn't. All right, well, we all failed miserably.
We went out with a whimper.
Went out with a whine.
Thanks for the reminder, Jason.
Yeah, jeez.
The Kings.
Frankie Klicks, he's going to show up and join us, and we'll do our first interview post-mortem.
We'll interview Frankie.
I feel like we should.
Okay.
So your Sacramento Kings, the season is over. Frankie Cardicelli joins us next.